Hello, everybody. Today we have something special in preparation. We will make our podcast today and the first time in English. And I'm Michael. I'm responsible at Mineco for the plumbing and heating business division. And I'm here today with my special guest and a very warm welcome to my father. Good morning.
Yes, hello to everybody and hello to all our Mineco friends.
We have a special topic today. We have already made some episodes on German in different podcasts about our history. And today we want to try it in English, of course. We are not native speakers, so please, we are a bit sorry already in advance for some language skills, but I think we will do our best, aren't we?
Yes, for sure.
That sounds very optimistic. We want to speak about our history and where Mineco is coming from, where our roots are, and also to explain a bit who we are today. And it's always worth looking at history. And of course, this is mainly your part. So when would you say the show started?
Yes, that's a very good question. Where do we come from? And I think it was not so normal because, Michael, you know that I first worked for the Dutch government. It was, if I'm looking back, a very bad time because I tried to get so many taxes as possible from all the companies. But then it changed. I switched over to a tax consultant, to auditor.
To pay it less tax as possible?
To train the people to pay less taxes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. And that was much more fruitful than the activities I had before. And then 1984, I think that's the point of change for me. Because in 1984, I was at the tax authority, at the tax office. And I met a guy. At that time, I thought it's an elderly guy, 45 years old. His name, Horst Rahn. He worked at that time for Frankische Rohrwerke for a very long time, had a very, very good job. And he came and said, I want to found a company for producing machines, corrugators, that are extrusion lines to produce corrugated pipes. And I thought, oh, maybe he's a little bit crazy in such an age to found a company.
Such an old age, from your perspective.
For sure, yeah. At that time, 84, and I was born 61, so you could calculate. But I thought he's an elderly guy, and I was very impressed because he has really a big charisma, and he was very self-confident. And he said, no, we want to start in January 85 then with a machine company. And my boss, Siegbert Pickel, was together with him, and we discussed about the possibilities, about a business plan and so on, and about the name for the new company. Mm-hmm. And the name was not so easy to find. I think everybody who found a company made the same experience that it's not so easy to define the name. And we discussed several possibilities, and then Horst Rahn said, okay, Universal Corrugators, and if you make a shortcut, then it's Unicore. So that was a very fine name. We tried also to check if somebody else had already the name, but that was not the case. And then Siegbert Pickel said, but we must include also the name of the founder because he's the well-known guy worldwide in the corrugator market. So we have to include Rahn. And so it came to a very short name, Unicore Rahn Plastmaschinen GmbH, GmbH.
Limited in
limited
German
company,
law.
Yes, yeah. In Germany. And so it started in January 85 with 14 employees. And I worked for them as a tax consultant in the first months. And I accompanied him by that time from outside. And then it changed because he made the proposal I should switch over to him, to Unicore, and should be a partner in Unicore as a mm-hmm. shareholder. And that was, for me, very attractive. I was 24 years old, so quite young. And in October 85, I changed then to Unicore as the managing director and responsible for all commercial activities.
So I have several questions now.
Yes.
First of all, a very personal. So a 45-year-old guy is old, but 24 is still young. So normal age would have been, from your point of view, between 24 and 44.
Exactly.
Okay, interesting, interesting. Don't know if it has changed today, but very interesting. It's a complete new definition. I was not aware of that, so I'm lucky that I'm in the normal age today. The other one, you call a company Unicore RAN Plus Maschinen GmbH. It's not a really nickname or a shortcut, but how does it come that there's a German word like Blastmaschinen, but on the other side, Unicore is out of two English words, because it's a universal corrugator. Is a corrugator, is it also a German word and an English word, or is it mainly an English word?
It's a miracle.
A miracle.
No, a miracle. Oh. No, first it was a German company, and so Horst tried to include also a German name, RAN Plastmaschinen. Plastmaschinen was his proposal. And the other proposal was from Siegbert Bigel, from our tax consultant, that he said the name of the founder should be included in the company name. But at the end, it was Unicore. Mm-hmm. And Unicore mm-hmm. has the advantage, the name, that you could speak it in German as well as in American yes. or British yeah. English. Unicore, that's not so very different, easy to understand.
And the other thing you said, that it was important to include the name of Horst, his family name. And why was he well known all over the world? One of the maybe first influencers in machinery business for plastic pipes, but I think it was not Facebook and social media at that days.
No, but he worked quite a long time for Frank Schorberge, and he started the machine business. Before he started it, Frank was only active in the pipe business market, and mm-hmm. he started also machine business, because he said we could sell our own developed machines worldwide, because with our pipes, it's not possible to export it to China, to India, to America, to Africa, because you have too much air in the pipes, mm-hmm. and so it's better to sell machines. But that was not so accepted in Frank Schorberg, and that was the reason why he found Unicore, because we should have really a full concentration and to use all possibilities to sell these machines in the worldwide market.
So at the beginning, it was also with Frank, she was then a customer?
No, with Frank, it was very strange for me that it was possible then to come to a cooperation. And from 84, it was then clear that Frank wants to cooperate, and they cooperated until 89. Mm-hmm. But then it came to a conflict, because it was an interest of conflict. And so it changed that we went our way alone with Unicore. But the first 4 years we worked with Frank together. And then we started by our own machine business without Frank. And then we started 89 already also with pipe production, because here in the European market, it was a very good market. 89 was not a bad time, because we had the reunification of Germany. And so we started in 89 to produce corrugated pipes, and then a little bit later also our own developed multi-layer composite pipes.
Why did it come to that step? Because it is a bit from the idea in the beginning, it was about machinery. It was all about machinery. It was the complete reason for founding Unicore with this very, very short name, Unicore RAN Plus Maschinen GmbH. And why did it come then to that step to say, okay, we also use our own machinery?
Yeah, it's better if you are developing machines that you could also test them in a real production. And so in 89, we started this production with corrugated pipes, and we had a showroom also for our machine customers. Mm-hmm. And the advantage of pipe system business is that it's a continuously business. With machines, you have a customer, you sell the machines, and hopefully after 2, 3, 4 years, if the customer is successful, he will buy a second machine. With pipes, if you're selling pipes, then it's a continuous business. That means every week, every month, you are selling the pipes. And so it was a very good additional thing with the pipe systems. So we got a help for machine business, and we had a stable business with pipe systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. Especially, I think, also by that step that it made you able to make an unbelievable development from 84, 85 until the late 90s. And how did it come that you have such an expansion and such a growth? Because, well, it's sorry for that, but still in our days, it's about plastic pipes. Yeah, it's not Google, it's not Facebook, it's not something very, very sexy in the end. It's just a plastic pipe. How does it come? Was there such a need, or What was the magic?
You know, we had a very well-motivated team, and I think that's the most important thing for a company, the human capital. And here we started then also to look for new experienced guys for the pipe system business, and we have known a lot of people. And so they started work for Unico, a young company, a startup, you could say. Mm-hmm. And from 89 on, it was an unbelievable development. If you consider with 14 people, we started 85. Mm-hmm. Then in 89, we had something around 100 employees. And from 89 up to 99, we increased up to 1,200 employees. And that's really more explosion than a growth. And that was a lot of fun. It was very risky because we discussed very often, okay, if you are investing so many millions or billions in the company, it's risky. And we said several times that we are floating between social support from the government if we are losing everything, or we will get billionaires. Mm-hmm. So if I would have the choice, so the last thing would be better.
I can understand that. but how did you manage that for your own being under such a pressure? Also, if I just think about, I have a little idea about your family in general as being your son. Well, you got kids, and also with the family you had all the responsibility. How did you handle the pressure?
It was completely different. We are saying here in Germany that you have a Zeitgeist. That means spirit of time. Yeah. It's quite difficult to translate it. But at that time, it was really hard, long work. And you said you are born 86, then your brother 89, then your sister 92. Mm-hmm. But I had not so much time, I think, for the family, because we have really full concentration to the company. And I tried my very best also to get a certain compensation for the family then on the weekend. But that was not so easy. And I think in our times, it would have more life balance in another way mm-hmm. than we had it at that time. But only if you would make it with full passion, full concentration, and really a lot of activities and working hard, then you could get such a success. And what's the best thing for motivation? Success. Mm. And so the whole team went this way with us together, and we worked very hard. But we had also luck, and I think it's not only a question of passion and of intelligence and so on. You must have also a little bit of luck. You could have an influence by all your activities and passion. That we had the reunification 89-90, that we are getting and got a new market then in East Germany, and that the worldwide trade also went in a good way.
Increase, yeah.
We had a good time if I compare with the present time at the moment. So that helped quite a lot.
East and West got together.
Yes. And so it was really a very point of time for these activities. We developed also new machines, new pipes. While the layer composite pipe was not known in the market. Mm-hmm. That means the pipe with the aluminum layer in the middle, the mixture of plastic and metal pipes.
Not completely unimportant today, also for our business.
Yes, it's
this development.
Still, but I was surprised that it took so a long time that we got such a high market penetration, because the big players was copper and stainless steel and so on, and then the normal plastic pipes. And nowadays is a combination. Copper, stainless steel lost a little bit, and the others had a good growth during the last 20 years.
If you thinking back now on this about 15 years you had with Unicor, and just right now, right away, the top three moments out of the 15 years, what is the first things which come into your mind? Hopefully nothing too strange.
The birth of my son Michael, the birth of my son Maximilian, and the birth of my daughter Maria.
So it was that important. You've been there at my birth, haven't you?
No, that was a little accident, because...
accident, that's my name, okay.
Your mother was pregnant, and I had a meeting in south of France. And I was in south of France, Barbezieux, that's Angoulême, Bordeaux is also a Biarritz is in that direction. And I got a call that my wife had to went to the hospital. Mm. And I thought, no, it was 6 weeks too early.
for your information, after we made the German version of the podcast, there was different opinions about that time level. The one was coming from my mother, the one is coming from you, and there's a few weeks difference. So,
but it would have been enough time for me to travel back and to stay in the hospital with my wife.
I was in a hurry.
And to welcome you to the world. But okay, it wasn't in that way. So I was in South of France. You were born. I was happy. I celebrated in South of France. But then 2 days later, I went back and I saw my first son, Michael. And I'm proud.
Same for me. I was also very proud when the first time I seen you a few days later. A bit late, but it was also for me.
I think you don't
was also
remember.
For me a big moment. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well. Just
but okay, then time went on by Unicor. Let's go back to the business.
but really, my question also was a very nice answer, of course, from you, from the personal family perspective. But if you think about the business, and with such a time, with such a development, such a lot of emotions, pressure, and chances, risks, everything, what was going on there? What is something really with you thinking today with this kind of 25 years nearly time distance, even to the latest moment, what is coming to your mind? What is suddenly coming around, maybe putting a smile on your face? What is it?
No, I said very often, I never thought that I would have such a responsibility for such a big company where such a bullshit sometimes happened, but at the end, we had a lot of success.
Okay.
So not everything went right in the right direction and so on, but you have to see it in summary, and I think in summary it was very good. And then we had the development in the 90s that we are growing. And it was also a question of financing. And then in 98, we came to the discussion, should we stop our growth or mm-hmm. should we have a further expansion? And my intention was at that time to go to the stock exchange IPO.
Why?
To get money from the market,
from
the stock exchange, and to have
for
a very good
growth.
Financing, yes, and to have also a secured base for the further investments. But Horst, he is something around 20 years older, 22 years older.
The old but man from the beginning,
the,
yeah?
The old man from the beginning, and he said, oh, that's not my way, I prefer. Yeah. And so we had discussions then with very big companies, if we are selling Unicor to a very big company, to have with a very big company then more possibilities and a better standing in the market.
So this is not a time and the first time ever the new name Uponor comes across the street?
Yes, Uponor was well known from our side, a competitor to Unicor.
Also plumbing and heating or more infrastructure?
More plumbing and heating. And Uponor had a strategy to have growth. Uponor is listed at the stock exchange in Helsinki. And they had the clear plan to expand with acquisitions. And they bought a lot of companies here in Germany. This was Welda, Polytherm, Heving, Kronatherm. I could list it up. And so they came also to us and said, we have a very good proposal. The first intention was that Unicor should be independent and we could make our IPO to the stock exchange. But then after a few weeks when we sold the company, the management and the board of directors changed. And then they made the decision we should be included in the Uponor company, in the Uponor group.
First feeling about that from your side?
Yes, I was not so very happy. Okay, for Horst, it was good. He came to the board of directors, and I was then as a vice president and as a president responsible in Uponor. It's a pleasure if you could say, okay, I'm responsible for 3,900 employees for the total European market. And the
but
chances.
Not just a pleasure.
And the chances to influence the market and to have a faster, bigger growth. But in a big company, especially in a stock-listed company, you have some rules and you have to follow the rules if they are sensible or senseless. And so I got more and more frustration from 99 then on. We had a lot of discussions.
What was your role at that time?
I was responsible for a European plumbing and heating market. So in total, 3,900 employees, and really from Portugal up to north of Norway to
but just Europe,
Russia.
No Asia, America?
No Europe market, yeah, yes. But it was the biggest part of the Uponor group at that time. And I had also then the job to change the company names, because in 99 they had a lot of companies, but I listed up the names, Welda and so on, and Unicor. And it was a clear goal for Uponor to come all together to Uponor. And that was my job, and that was also not so easy, because if you have so mid-sized companies, they are really proud, and they are proud with their company name, and you change it without any destruction of the feeling of the employees. It's a quite tough job. I would have made it a little bit slower, not so tough, like Uponor has made it at the end.
Okay. And was also killing a little bit of the identity and the loyalty, or?
Not the identity, yes, absolutely correct. You cannot have the motivation in the same way if you are doing things like that. And so they made an additional decision that the profit rate should be higher, and that we should have a concentration only to plumbing and heating. And you know, in Unicor we had also other activities. And so I had to close factories below 100 employees. We have to sell or close companies also which are not in the plumbing and heating business, or companies which could not reach in a certain time than 15% EBIT rate. And that was then for me not so good. And I made the decision, if I will find a way out of Uponor, I will go a different way. And I prefer more to be an entrepreneur and not to be a manager in a company.
But it was then also at that time between 1999 and 2004 when you met the first time a well-known guy from the UK with Mr. Sir Rod Hickmott. Or yes. Was it all already at Unicor days?
That was in Unicor days, but also in Uponor, and Rod Hickmott is still in business.
Yes, he is.
And one of my eldest friends in the business. And that was also very good for me, that I had not only customers, I had really friends as customers, and that we have a very good cooperation, and we had also private discussions and so on.
But it was the first meeting then already at Unicor days, or just at Uponor?
It was in Unicor days already.
So we were the exclusive partner then?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. And then, but then they were took over also to Uponor?
To Uponor, exactly.
And then it became also Uponor UK.
Yes, and then Nigel Parks came and so on.
Also still in the industry. Yeah.
And we switched over to Uponor more and more. And by the decision that I have to close companies, it was one thing that we had in Schweinfurt, that's not far away from Hassfurt, that's the location of Unicor.
It's where we're sitting right now at the moment in Schweinfurt.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And in Hassfurt, that we have business parts which we have to close. And that was then the point where I said, that's maybe my chance to start by my own. You could call it then that I made the proposal for management buyout. And that was the surprise end of 2003, shortly before Christmas time. I met to Jan Long, that was the CEO by Uponor at that time. The proposal to step out of Uponor and to take over the company parts which should be closed. Mm-hmm. And already on the 28th of December, we had a meeting in Frankfurt, and we discussed about the regulations, how it is possible and so on. And we came together, and then we made the decision by the 1st of April 2004, I will step out. I should work a little bit longer for Uponor as a consultant, but I should work also to the end of March, because I thought if I would make such a proposal, I will have immediately to step out. But that was not the case. We had a very good cooperation, and it was also necessary for me, because around about 80% of the sales was to Uponor of these companies. So we depended completely on Uponor, and by the 1st of April then we started. And then once again, the big question, what's the name of the company?
Before coming to that, also about the chapters before, some questions from my side. If you're thinking back about the Unicor days, what is for you personally the biggest what if? I have an estimation, but I want to hear your answer, and I'm really keen on. What is the biggest what if for you for the Unicor days?
Okay, what if we wouldn't have started with pipe systems?
Okay.
That was 89, 90.
Didn't see that coming.
Yes, that was really a very big decision, and on the long term, and we have also the outcome today out of that decision. That was very big step. For me, I was deeply impressed about the reunification, because we started immediately also in East Germany to found a company, but not found. We bought a Kombinat, VEB, Mechanisierung, Sulim Kombinat, Ultramöbel.
Socialism, communism company.
Yes, and to see then the complete different style in East Germany, if you compare with West Germany, and to come together, the two nations, I think it was not so easy, because for me, I was born 61, the wall was built August 61. I thought that's two nations. The elderly people, my...
Naturally.
Yeah, and,
logically.
But if okay. I compare Siegbert Pickel, the Dax Council, my boss at that time, he already added by the Olympic Games the medals together from East Germany and from West Germany. For me, it was clear, no, we are two different nations. Yeah. So I had a different understanding, and it was then very impressive for me that we are really one nation, that we are Germans together. With all the problems we had, social problems and structure problems and so on.
Cultural.
So that's the 2 points. But what did you have in mind?
I had in mind that the biggest what if is also in combination of the two chapters with Unicor and Uponor, if we would not have sold it.
Yes.
I see on your face, it's hard to see it in a podcast, but I see on your face that it's not something you'd say, oh no, I've never thought about that. That's really strange.
Yes, I must say before the decision we made to go to Uponor, I had a lot of dreams. And after we went to Uponor, I had a lot of nightmares. Yeah, because it was really my dream to go on with Unicor, with all the possibilities when you have more cash, more money than to invest worldwide.
So the and same path.
Yeah, to expand further. But it's clear, Horst was older than I. I was in the best age, I would say, at that time. But the decision was fallen, and then at that time I had to accept that's the new way.
Yeah, you were clearly exactly in the section we defined before age-wise, so you were in a normal age, yeah, between 24 and 44.
That's the thing where I consider quite often, 2004, I was an elderly guy.
Yes, again, walking and into a tax office, my own, tried to fill up.
And I remembered very well about my strange thingings in 84, that with 42, 43, you are an elderly guy.
2004, so the late opinion, days of your career.
Opinion could change during the time.
Or adapt. Let's say adapt.
That's, when I'm getting wiser, though. Yeah.
But also, I know we had that question between us a few times from today's perspective. Deal with Uponor, you would do it again or no? At that time, 1999, on afternoon with the little rainy clouds, you're still remembering.
Do you mean now the deal to sell Unicor to Uponor?
Yeah,
to step out of Uponor?
99.
It was not in my hands. I was a minor shareholder.
Would you have done it?
No. Very clearly.
Very risky. Very clearly and very risky.
Yeah.
As you said it before, social benefits or a billionaire, nothing in between.
No, but at that time I would have gone such a way. And I think that it would have been a very successful way because the time was good for such a step, 99. 2000, stock exchange spent a lot of money then for the companies. And we had really a very successful story. So we had not only a .com name, at that time it was very famous.
A real business.
We had real business and with real sales, with real profit also.
Yeah.
So, okay, but that's over.
But it was also a partly cash out.
Yeah. It was for me privately then an easy step because then it was a secured way.
Less risk, yeah.
And also as a manager in a stock-listed company, your earnings are not so bad, I would say, without any risk. And we had also then the possibility to invest into Uponor shares, but very small in comparison to the total size of Uponor. So I don't consider about that anymore. It was a new way. And if I must say today, maybe we are more happy to have gone this way.
Maybe. Otherwise, we would be on a private island now with our private chat and a private...
That's not my lifestyle.
because you sold it. That's the reason. Now, seeing that with 1999, the partly cash out and kind of an exit strategy, but still staying in the business. And then 2004, you already mentioned it, it's a time for a new start, new entrepreneurial years. And... Well, then That's MindCore coming across.
Yes, but that was not so clear with the name MindCore.
But very creative. Coming from Unicore to MindCore is amazing. You changed everything.
No, we had discussions, and I hear my wife Gudrun, he has then an influence to that. We discussed in the bathroom in the morning about the name. And we have here in Schweinfurt the river Main. And you have in English Main, the most important thing. And then the core, okay. As two meanings, corrugated and core is, if you are coming from Latin, means also the heart.
With an E or without an E at the end?
Without an E.
Without an E. Okay.
C-O-R is Latin and heart. So we said, okay.
Do you speak Latin?
Very, very small.
Very small, yeah.
Vot erat demonstrandum.
Ora et labora, yeah.
Alea jacta est. Ora errare humanum est. That was also several times the case. No, I have more Asterix and Obelix Latin speaking.
Okay, good.
No, but then we found the name, or my wife found the name MainCore. I was also very happy with that name, because MainCore in German, MainCore worldwide, it's a very good name, easy to spell, and so that was the way that we started with MainCore. And please don't start again YPP at the beginning. That was in our
German
version.
I shouldn't ask, because you want to explain it anyway, or what do you mean by that?
No, I was afraid at that time that maybe in Europe, worldwide, there are already the name MainCore available, and that we have a problem then. And so we said, let's take Pfister and Pfister at the beginning, PP. That was absolutely nonsense now, if
best
I'm looking
decision
back.
Ever.
Because in the plastic market, it's polypropylene and not Pfister and Pfister. And we changed it later, because also at the exhibitions, it was very strange. In the catalog, we were listed then
where are we?
Under the P. Letter P.
P as MindCore.
Yeah. Okay, and that was the start then. With something around 100 employees in the year 2004, with corrugated pipe business, infrastructure pipe business, cable production, a little bit industry applications also, a lot of things.
But pretty small. It sounds now very huge with all the different fields you're mentioning, but it was not, was nearly now more fields than million euro sales, though. How big was it at the beginning? Was not that huge?
Or? At the beginning, we had something around 12 million.
Yeah.
12 million. Yeah, 12 million.
So it was a classical medium-sized company.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, how many? Yeah. 120 employees somehow.
No, not so much at the beginning. Not a little bit above 100.
Okay.
That was also a quite difficult process, because I had to make my decisions which employees should follow me from Uponor to Unicore. And a lot of people were disappointed about me, because they also want to go with me.
How did you do that?
Discussion. But then it was clear by the 1st of April, we started, and it was not a bad start.
And one guy you took with you is still here, and such a big influence on our daily business today. Yeah, we was a little boy at
yes,
that time.
At that time, Tobias Kuhn, I think you mean.
Yes,
he started 2000 as by Uponor with as an applicant.
Yeah,
and
trainee,
and then he went with us to MainCore as a sales guy. And then it developed his way in a very successful way.
So you did not regret it.
Absolutely not.
So okay, we have now.
I made the right choice.
So one out of 110 we have now discussed. Now we will go to the 109 people. So, but you choose Tobias. This is it's very cool. But even family members you left behind. Why did that happen? Your nephew.
Okay, but it changed later.
Just a nephew.
No, but it was not possible to it was not possible for me then to have too much people on my payroll, because I had to also look to the costs. And so in the beginning it was not possible, but later it changed a lot of things, and also other people came from Uponor then to MainCore.
So I thought maybe it was because of the plumbing and heating, and Alex was already in plumbing and heating at
exactly
that time.
Yes. Yeah. But we didn't start with plumbing and heating 2004 up to 2007.
Well,
it was not allowed for me to do plumbing and heating business, because I had a non-competitive condition agreement. And also Uponor was the biggest customer. So if I would have done very stupid things, Uponor will react.
So you waited 3 years for doing stupid things, and then you have done it?
Then I started to get more independent activities, and I looked for Independence Day, I would say. And 2007, 2008, then it was possible to start also with plumbing and heating, because first we had a lot of other customers. The sales to Uponor was at that time, it went down to 25-30%, also a big portion, but
because of new customers or because Uponor reduced it?
With the growth we had in the other businesses.
Okay.
We started especially industrial applications, cable protection and so on. And then we started 2008 with plumbing and heating once again. And here I made a choice for another system that I am not a direct competitor. We started with the slide seal system. You know it. You have it still in your program, Michael.
Yeah, the Mimepack system.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And was it recognized by Uponor to say, oh, yeah, he's doing no competition, but it's just slide seal. It's not a press fitting. Or was it a more thing that they were really pissed? Or who is Uponor?
No, we have been so small at that time that they took it not serious.
Okay.
The activities we had. And also we made a different marketing style that we sold at that time directly to the craftsmen, to the installers, and not via the wholesalers. That was the way of Uponor. So we didn't meet us in the market. Mm-hmm. We went direct to the installers. They went via the wholesalers. We very, very small, nearly nothing, and they very, very big, one of the big players in the market.
And selling directly in the German market and I think in the Austrian as well to the plumbers and the craftsmen. Was it a clear decision or was it more necessary just to get an entrance to the market? Because I'm thinking in that days coming into the market, you were not the first ones and not the only ones. Nobody was waiting for you guys. And was it out of that pressure or?
No, you listed up the main points, because if I would have gone to the wholesalers, they have already 10, 15 systems on stock and for sale, and why should they have one more system also? And I considered quite deeply about the new way, because that was not known in the German market to sell as an industry supplier directly to the installers. And it was also a question about the logistic. And thank God that the logistic organizations changed also, that it was now more easy to sell to the north of Germany, to the south of Germany in a very short time. And it was already the plan to start with a web shop. If you are talking now about a web shop, yes, well known, everything. 2007, we didn't have such a situation. And you know that I like to go new ways, and also with IT, the new possibilities to work it out. And we developed at that time our own web shop.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not available on the market. We developed our own web shop. And that was an additional instrument. And I said at that time, for customers, an installer, it should be possible to have a telephone call, to have a telefax, to have a personal visit of a sales guy, and also with a web shop. If you want to send a letter, he should send a letter. Every way to main core, to give an order, should be open and should be also very easy for the customer. That was the start.
And also, if you're thinking now about the plumbing and heating, which was not part at the beginning, also because of the non-competition agreement, why plumbing and heating again? It would also been possible to leave it out. You had with infrastructure, industrial pipe systems, cable protection, whatever. There were so many things already on the list. Why plumbing and heating again? Were you missing ISH? Or?
Okay, I wasn't. Yes. No, I was at that time already 15 years in the market. I was also well known in the market.
Plumbing heating, you mean?
Plumbing and heating market, yes. And it's a much, much bigger market if you compare with other products or systems. And it's also that the margins at that time were better than in other products. That was the reason. And it's a continuous business. That's the advantage. If you have installers using your system, they are using it every week. And so if you are building up a business, and it's not so easy to grow fast because it's a very conservative market, but if you have then your customers and if you are satisfying them, then they will be faithful. And that was the base then for the success in the further years.
Mm-hmm. Now we were speaking a lot about the let's say, German-speaking market at least. And also by having that podcast in English, if you take the international perspective, how were the first steps also outside of the well-known German and Austrian market into the different other markets? I think it's the more far away, the more difficult, or is it just depending on the partner you get?
No, I had in my mind that I want to have once again such a dreamful development like we had with Unicore, fast growth, that we will come up to 1,200, 1,500 or 2,000 employees.
And why?
So I don't know why.
Okay. Maybe. Good explanation.
No, it's... why do you have such a style, such a character? It's quite easy to explain. But I had the intention, I want to be successful. I want to have a big company. I want to have a lot of employees fighting with me for the success. And so we started very fast also with activities outside of Germany, with Rod Hickmut, for example, in UK.
UK was at the beginning?
UK was at the beginning then, that they came to us. Then we had also activities in the infrastructure market in the Czech Republic, in Slovakia. Later we started in Poland, in Italy. In Slovenia, so really international activities. And we had a export rate at that time of 70%. That's absolutely not normal for a German
70
company.
70 or 70?
70.
70?
Yeah.
Wow. And even more than today.
Yeah, much more at that time, yes. And so we went really international. We had 14 locations then after a few years over Europe. And I thought that would be the way. And then 2008 and 2009, we had the very, very big crisis. And the big crisis brought also big problems to us because the business in Spain went down by 90%, in Ireland, in UK, in Italy, and so on. And that was for us the disadvantage because the business came up very fast in Germany 2010, after the crisis 2009, but not in the other countries.
But was it then the biggest problem that there was the crisis from Eastern Europe, or was it also maybe mainly the combination of starting a lot of things and not everything already running on track and being healthy in combination with the first crisis faced, or was that then the reason for the downside of the thousand of activities?
No, it was a mixture out of that, what you listed up, and the big disadvantage was the business in the other countries that was on such a low level, because if the market is very bad, you have bigger problems as a young company.
Mm-hmm.
Also, financing is then a bigger problem, because we finance everything here in Germany. Maybe it was a mistake, but afterwards, in the past, if you're looking back, you could think, yes, you could have done it better. And we made our mistakes, like I said already before, with Unicore. But the question is, at the end, in total, if you're coming to a positive result or not.
Unfortunately, the result and also the way it followed and the development was not that joyful as you hoped, I guess.
Yes, that was really a dramatic time, 2010, 11, 12. Then
did it start 2010 then, roughly?
Already, yeah. Okay. 2009, big influence, and then also the development 2010, 11, 12 was not very good. And so it was a question how we could proceed, because then we had a very tough financing in the company. We had a lot of partners on the bank side, and then the banks come to us and said, okay, now we need a consortium. Mm-hmm. Is it in German? So they are trying.
Just for an explanation means that all the banks came together and speaking with one voice, or try to speak with one voice.
Yeah.
And so putting some pressure on you.
And so it was necessary that we had to make new business plan. We need confirmations from specialists about that. And it looked very positive until August 2013.
When was the moment for you when you realized, okay, shit, the ship is going down and maybe I cannot hold it up?
In July 2013, we came to an agreement with the banks. We signed it, all the banks and I, that should be the base then for the next 3 years. And beginning of August, then one bank came to me and said, yes, we will do that, but you have to transfer your shares. My shares to the bank. So I wouldn't be anymore, in my eyes, an entrepreneur.
Ownership, or just as a security?
As a security in the ownership of the bank.
So gone.
Yes, and that was then the point of time where I said, no, that's not my way. And then I made the decision, and it was the advantage that we had new laws for insolvencies in Germany, that you could do it under your own administration. it was not known in the market. It was not known at the court at that time. So we had been the first case that I came with such an idea, but it worked. For me,
similar
it was helpful.
Similar to Chapter 11 a little bit.
Exactly, Chapter 11 in USA, you could compare. And that was possible then in Germany. Okay, it was helpful for me that I had a very good network here in Lower Franconia or in Bavaria, that I had a very good reputation. I was the president of the Chamber of Commerce. And so you have a network for that. But it worked officially. And so we made the decision and it was accepted then by the court already that we would have this Chapter 11, you could say, insolvency under own administration, in August, mid of August 2013.
But let's try to put the perspective into your shoes. And we are about in July 2013, and you have that then the contract in front of you, which says, okay, you are the major shareholder and you're putting all your energy and activities into the company, and when you should hand it over to the banks. Well, I think I'm not sure if the one word with an F in the front I wanted to say right now is right for that stage. But why did you not say, oh, come on, forget it. Leave me alone. That's it. Enough with pipes and machinery and whatever. Enough with corrugators. And don't want to find a new name which nobody can spell or whatever.
No, never. You could fall down, but you have to stand up. You have to fight then for your way.
Even after and such a tough hit.
Absolutely sure. No, it was really then my passion, and I must say my frustration also. I changed it to energy. And I must say the team, the main core team at that time, motivated me so well that they said, no, let's fight now for the new way. And if you're looking bad, I had yesterday an old employee out at that time by me, and he said, it was a very good time at that. Mm. And I must say, I don't remember in such a way, whether I have different feelings because...
Different perspective, yeah.
Yeah, because I worked 20 hours a day, 7 days per week. And so it was my toughest time in my business life. But we saw a chance and we have known that we have to do quite a lot of things to come to a success. Mm-hmm. And it was the time from August to December that we had the chance to change the game, because first all the banks and so they were against us, and on the 20th of December already 2013 it was a decision made by 100% of all the creditors of all the banks that they accept our proposal. We sold infrastructure business, we sold international business,
machinery,
tool manufacturing and so on, and we had then our full concentration to the two locations, Schweinfurt and Knetzgau, with plumbing and heating and industrial applications for pipe systems.
You were mentioning it now several times during the conversation we have now, also in the past, also in the present, that the team is very important, or also the most important thing for having a successful business. Wasn't it at that time in 2004 even the toughest chip on the shoulder, where we feel the most pressure by letting them down, and to fight for them for having a future?
Also, you see the social responsibility.
Yeah, I mean that especially.
Yeah. And you had been active also during that time.
You know
it very well, that we really, when we made the decision, then with the day after, we started our new way to visit customers, to speak with all our employees, to speak also with your suppliers. It was very tough, but it's a responsibility. And if you're looking back, we had in August 2013, 670 employees. And nearly nobody lost the job. We sold part of the companies, and we started with 160 employees then with main core. And now in the meantime, the other companies also successful, and they have more employees than at that time. And if you are looking to our situation, I would also say quite good.
It's okay, yeah.
And you are a part of the reason for such a success, Michael.
Thanks for the flowers.
It's the truth.
Oh, Dad. Oh, thank you.
It's really heartwarming.
Wasn't aware that I was fishing for compliments today, but thanks for that. No, also, of course, your work in getting it back on track after such a time of no holidays, no really not easy going time, and just the pressure all the time, and being out of control somehow, because the financing parties and the banks were taking over, and it was very interesting, as you said, as this mind changed by all the decisions made by Corden when we started again with the 1st of January with the new MainCore, let's say in that way, coming from the MainCore AG, as the AG
MainCore Rohrsysteme then, yeah.
Yeah, MainCore Rohrsysteme GmbH und KG, our love for long names is still existing. And, but there were a lot of different things, I would say, in a different destinies, which we had to fight to be successful then in 2004. It was not easy going with all.
But I had the complete support from my family. That's very important. If it's my wife Gudrun, she supported me. If I'm looking to you,
me and my 1,000 brothers and sisters. Yeah.
Yes, and you know we are a family company. My sister, my nephew, and a lot of
even your family. Nephew still. Yeah, this is
a lot of family members.
After you left him back at Uponor before, yeah.
And it was then really a good time at beginning in January 2000.
And 14. For me personally, experience with the team, with also of course with our family, but also the team for us is driven by a spirit. I don't know why it came to that point, but we had suppliers, customers, which were not suppliers and customers. And if you think about MainCore in UK, where we made a very good agreement in 2014, if I'm thinking back, for example, of still today, our biggest supplier in the plumbing heating division in Italy with GVS, mm-hmm. where I was sitting there and you were knowing they had lost
a money.
Lot of money, and you were really feeling guilty sitting in there, and by having seen some mafia movies from Italy, and you were not sure what's happening next, and in the end seeing to being in a partnership with them still today and still very successful, this were key factors for driving the success back into the business. And I think the timing, if I'm thinking back from our today's perspective, if it would have happened 1 or 2 years earlier, it would have been a problem. Because I think when the insolvency was coming, especially for our plumbing heating division, we were nearly there. We were nearly there at the break even. We were nearly there.
Too small.
But then in 2030, I remembering from the P&L perspective for the profits and loss, that we had the first month or 2 months even before the insolvency where we had a positive figure. I mean, it was just higher than zero before. It was always negative.
Okay, with all the investments in the web shop, in new system, developing new systems, you need new pricing tools and so on.
Critical volume reaching. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and that's a problem, that when you're building up a new business, it's nearly impossible to make money with the beginning. You must have very high sophisticated product or a virtual product that you could make it. But if you're really a production company and you have pipes, you have fittings and so on, you must invest before you have a complete systems. And if you want to be successful in the market, you must have a complete system.
But if you take a look now and say, okay, it started with UniCore, really crazy story, fantastic growth. Nobody, I think even yourself, did not expect something like that from the beginning. Then you're selling it to Uponor, wealth-wise, nice. Company-wise and from the daily work, not so nice, to say it in a very polite way. And then building up MainCore, then investing again a lot, being again responsibility on your own, then losing everything and then restarting again. How was your feeling then in the first few years? Was it then back like in the beginning of UniCore? Or because after all the time and after all the experience and after all the situations you had to handle, how was it then? How was it for you? When was it a parallel, or was it just an ongoing story where you cannot compare one part with the other?
No, it was different, and it sounds maybe unbelievable, but we had a new style, and especially you and the young other guys, they brought in a new style in MainCore.
Normal age guys.
Normal age, not elderly guys,
yeah,
yes. And we had a new style, and the motivation of the whole team, and also the passion of the team. And the will to succeed, it was so impressive for me. And it was then a new way, not comparable with the time of Unicore and absolutely not comparable with the time of Uponor. Because we had then made also a very good development. The first 2-3 years, we had a lot of problems to solve. We had rest machines which had to sell. We had also companies which didn't fit us, Slovakia, in Czech Republic, and so on.
Adapt the organization to the new scale.
Yes, and we had really a central office, a very big central office, which I had to squeeze down. So a lot of things, but we had a clear goal for us. And that was, I think, the motivation for us and the good spirit in the team we had. That it was possible then, step by step. And we made slower than before. And I remember very quiet and very well when you said to me, but Daddy, not once again so crazy like you have done in the past. Not
and did you keep your promise? Did you keep your promise?
Yes, I keep the promise.
Oh,
because we had now in the meantime chances for acquisitions. We had chances for activities outside of Germany. Okay. And we still have our concentration. The two locations, Gnetzgau and Schweinfurt.
I think also product-wise, we stayed more in our field and tried to make more from the same than just growing the range all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and if you look at it today, and also the last, I would say, especially 3 years, 2 years, Unicore feelings again, explosion, expansion. No, buildings
maybe it
every
was a
week.
A little bit by accident.
By accident.
No, we had free
Destiny.
Capacities, especially
in
plumbing and heating, PRT pipes, multi-layer composite pipes, and so. And you are guilty. You are responsible for that, because you are responsible for plumbing and heating, and that was the
you
business
are the major
area.
Shareholder. I'm just doing my job, what the shareholders want me to do.
Yes, but you haven't been very happy when have speaking too much to your business, because you tried every time to be very independent and to go your own way.
Isn't that a good corporate governance?
Okay. No, I must say, in the first years, 2014-15, it was tough between us, because you had sometimes strange reactions when I made a proposal. No, but then 2-3 months later, maybe you had this idea in the same way.
Complete new idea.
But it developed in a very good way, together with Tobias Kuhn, together with you, and also with the family. That's also very important. The family also must have a same spirit. And if I look to my wife, Gudrun, she has the same spirit. If I look to my son, Maximilian, he's also an entrepreneur. If I look to my other child, they're also, I could say, well done.
Normally, other people should say that to you and not you about yourself. But it's okay. It's okay. I would agree. I would agree.
Okay. And so during the last 3-4 years, we had then a faster expansion and growth than we thought before. But we have an orientation. If there is a chance without a big risk, why shouldn't we use and take the chance?
And if it's not about buying a company somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
And I think also what you already mentioned with this, the support, and it's, we have a big thing if you see the loyalty we have from the team and also the support from the team we get, that we have a lot of people who are a little bit like Tobias with coming to Maincore in a youth age and being a trainee and then staying here. And we have often the case that somebody with 26, 27 has 10 years of being in the company, what is absolutely unbelievable. And I'm very thankful for that, because that shows that something is going right. And also the people who we are working with, we mentioned UK several times, still the same people. We are working with them together since the early days, and some and most of them I know for much longer than 10 years. Also in Slovenia, we have the same partner still. In Poland, our sales agent was also already working for Maincore Poland in that days. And that's I think that's one of our great strengths, that we are sticking together. And a lot of people were quite young, or younger at least, and by getting the experience and the knowledge that we could succeed in the market by sticking together and being loyal and being together. This, and I think this changed also the company, and having people around who are 30 years old and already working for more than 10 years for Maincore is an unbelievable level of skill set. That is something where we can in my opinion, be really proud.
And I changed my mind and my strategy 2014 that I never had the dream then again to have a very big company. And it was my intention, my clear goal to have a modern, very efficient company. And with a very, very good spirit in the team. We had it also during Unicor time. Mm-hmm. But also then in a modern way, if you're looking to our digital activities we had, I think we are very different to all the medium-sized companies around us.
You mean by doing a podcast, for example?
Okay, that's one part, small part out of it. Right. No, but if I look into our IT systems we had in the production and also over the company, if you are looking to our controlling systems and so on, we are really very modern, and I think that's one reason for our success, that we are different to other companies. You cannot compare it with us. We are different. And that we have all the things and the projects we have done in a very consequent way, very concentrated. And that's the reason why we came sometimes to a success where others failed, maybe.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. And this is... also the thing what you mentioned from the past by your parents and my grandparents being farmers, that you first have to put something into the ground to get the harvest later on.
That's my explanation. You have to put your potatoes into the soil, into the ground in March, April, if you want to have a very good harvest, then in September, October.
It's the same thing with digital investments or investments in general, if they are working right. Not always they're working right, but if so, you will see it later. Yeah, now today, we have the year 2022. You are now, I have to calculate, you're 16 years older now than an old man you defined earlier. I don't know what is old man plus 16 years, but I think it's not younger. What are your future plans?
No, the advantage for me is we have such a young team and they are bringing down my age.
Oh, really? Really? And what a pity.
I know that that you're keen to get more responsibility and so, but we have a very good situation with Tobias, with you, Michael, and also with my person, Tobias, for the industrial applications, for production, and also for quality, and also for the sales. You are completely responsible for building business, inclusive technical development, inclusive purchasing. The procurement is also on your side. And that's a very good combination. And I have the staff members like IT, logistic, marketing, and so on, bookkeeping, controlling. And so you have your concentration to market, to products, to systems. So you're keen about your customers, suppliers, and about your team. And I have it, I very often say, like a cafeteria principle. I'm offering you this very special services from all the departments, which you could use, and that's, I think, a very good combination.
It was a very nice answer, but my intention of the question was completely different.
I will surround it 12 times if we would ask 10 times.
I just wanted to see and to know your vision, really, for the next couple of years, 5 years, 10 years. Where is the way of Minecore going? What is the future of Minecore?
Maybe in 100 years I will look down from heaven and will be proud.
I already thought down from your desk or from your office and I was already a bit shocked.
No, I think we will proceed the next years and then we will see. That's a question about health and about the possibilities, but step by step.
But still, you would also agree that one of the key values we have is being close to our partners, for customers, for suppliers, for the banks. We need them, of course, as well. Also, together with our team, with our employees, under the Made in Germany vision and value, to be successful national and international.
No.
Yeah, that's also what I agree. I would say also for the already now, but and also for the next couple of years and also months and ongoing, is our challenge to digitalize even more, that the digital way of business is even more important. And in our days, by all the development we had and the discussion of society, but also with costs, it's the green way of thinking is a big point for us.
Environment, your sustainability.
Already now generating approximately 25-30%.
I feel a pressure and I'm working more than I want at that time because I never had such a situation during the last 4 years with a pandemic now for 2 years. Mm-hmm. That was very, very challenging. And I thought, okay, it couldn't get worse. And then it started a war from Russia's side, I was in Ukraine. And now we have once again complete a different world. And I'm personally very influenced by that. And it's a tragedy for me. I have now in the meantime 9 Ukrainians living in, at home by me. And if you are speaking with them and they are telling about the tough story and what is going on in Ukraine, it's only sad. And so I have the feeling we have to be strong. We have to act also in a short time, because you cannot make long-term plans, because mm-hmm. nobody will know what happens during the next months, maybe weeks, maybe.
Just keep stronger and getting stronger and stronger.
We have a very good position with Mainco. We are trying to get more and more independent about electrical suppliers, or we're getting more independent about plastics, that we have different suppliers. And I must say, your way and the way of Tobias to have a partnership also with the suppliers. That was a reason for our success, that we didn't have the problem that we have to stop our production.
Yeah, we were pretty lucky during the last 12 to 24 months with our supply chain.
Yeah.
Was never a big issue. And it was just more or less an issue if we could handle the increasing orders from our customer base, from our existing customer base. And but I think we were also pretty lucky with the investments we have done, and we have decided in the last 2 years that it was the right decision, because also with the pandemic, it could have gone differently, and especially for plumbing and heating, or for the building construction market. It was a pretty good development in the...
And it was easy for us with home office, the organization, or with video streams and so on, podcasts also.
Of course, yeah.
That was for us, let's say, nearly normal. For other companies, it's impossible.
Yeah, the infrastructure was there already before we needed it, and we could switch easily into different things. But that's again with the main focus on being digital and prepared for the future. But so far, any other thing you wanted to tell about our story? Or I think it was
if I put out the two things, pandemic and the Ukrainian war, I must say we are in a very good situation. We have a very good positioning of Mainco. We have the world best team at Mainco. You could see it also now, party time is coming back.
Oh yeah.
Before the pandemic, we had already the big parties. Oh. And I think that will come now back again. And so I'm optimistic for Mainco, and I'm really proud to see and to influence a little bit such a development.
I totally agree. And of course, I'm also thankful for your role and for your development, and also that you had the nice idea of stepping out of the tax authorities to go your own way. Don't know what would have happened. Maybe I would not be a teacher. Maybe. Oh my God.
Sorry for the pupils.
not my cup of tea. Yeah, it's better in that way. And yeah, just as a sum up, I think it was a big developments during the history. We have some things which looked like they repeat. We have some things which looked like it's an ongoing story still to write. And we have a good base for the future, and we're pretty happy.
My learning was, you could have bad times, but then you have to consider what's then possible to go up and to go in a better future, and you have to do something. So you could fall down, but you have to stand up.
That's, I think, the best finish possible. Yeah, I hope it was a bit interesting for the last few listeners which still kept with us.
If all the listeners would have questions, they could contact us. You are well known, I am well known.
Of course.
Easily. Call us, give us a feedback.
Hopefully, language-wise, it was also possible and easy to understand. We tried our best. Of course, we are not native speakers, but let's hope the best. And if you want to have also some English content for the future, let us know. It would be interesting. We would try it. We have done some different episodes in German where we were also speaking about different departments in our Mainco today. But also, if we can give you some more insights, please let us know. Thanks for listening, if somebody has listened. And take care, stay healthy.
Have a good time.
See you.
Bye-bye.